We read the Gospel of Easter in Matthew 28, the verses 1 through 10. Matthew 28, the verses 1 through 10. And there we read God's word in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you." And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "All hail." And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. And then said Jesus unto them, "Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me." The text for the sermon, congregation, is formed by the verses 5, 6, and the first part of 7. "And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead." Beloved congregation, we are accustomed to the expression, the first day of the week. That's today. That's the day upon which we come to God's house, the first day of the week. In Scripture, we also read about that. And we read about that in the narrative about the Lord Jesus Christ and his resurrection. There we read that the Lord arose on the first day of the week. And that's the first time in Scripture that we read about the first day of the week. We read often about the seventh day of the week, the Sabbath. But now, for the first time, we read about the first day of the week, and light began to shine. Well, we do see it earlier one more time, as far as I can tell, in Genesis. On the first day, the Lord said, "Let there be light." And the light started to shine. And as a result of that shining light, the whole glorious creation took place. And the Lord looked at it and said, "It is very good." And now on this first day of the week, again the light started to shine. The light of the Lord Jesus Christ. He arose. The light of the world. The Son of Righteousness. A star shall arise out of Jacob. It's this light that starts to shine. And because of this shining light, now people are going to be changed and renewed as they once were in paradise. But even more beautiful. Because in paradise, they could still sin. But when the Lord Jesus has renewed people and renewed the earth and ushered in again a glorious situation, then there will be no more sin and no more possibility of sinning, because the Lord will make all things very well. And we meditate this morning upon Matthew 28, those verses 5 to 7a. So we write above the sermon, angels proclaim the resurrection of Christ. And we see three thoughts, you're seeking Jesus and proclaiming Jesus and witnessing of Jesus. Well, the Lord Jesus was in the grave, he was buried and he stayed there in the grave during the Jewish Sabbath. And so he fulfilled the Sabbath. Why was that? Because the Lord Jesus kept rest on the Sabbath day. And he earned the rest, peace and rest for his people to start off the whole week. So on the first day he arose, and his people may now live from that accomplished rest that the Lord Jesus has merited and has worked out. That's why he could say, come unto me and I will give you rest. There's no one else who says that. Nobody else who can do that. The Lord Jesus proves that he gives rest because he fulfilled the rest. He was lying on the Sabbath day in rest. And he arose to give that rest to people. Well, boys and girls, you know what happened, don't you? That angels descended from heaven. It was a quiet morning, very early, just before daybreak. Roman soldiers had been dispatched to guard the grave, and they put a Roman imperial seal on the stone connected to the grave. If anyone would break that, he would be killed. And so the Roman soldiers, they have their duty to guard a dead body. Quite boring, isn't it? That's what they must have thought. Waiting there the whole night for nothing. Until something happened that they never anticipated. That the scribes and Pharisees never anticipated. And that his own disciples never anticipated, and that those dear women filled with sorrow never anticipated. Angels came down from heaven, and one angel rolled the stone and sat upon it, and the Lord Jesus arose in glory. He arose. The Father caused him to rise up. The Father awakened him. My son, arise, wake up. And at the same time, it was the Holy Spirit who worked in that dead corpse. And the Lord Jesus arose, life came back. And it was the power of the Lord Jesus himself that he could not be held under the powers of death because he had conquered sin and paid the penalty. And so it was also his own strength that he arose. And angels are present. What a joy for these angels. They must have hid their faces during the 3 hours on the cross of outer darkness. But the angels were not present then at Calvary. An angel had been present at Gethsemane. And angels had been present when he was in the desert being tempted. And angels were present at his birth. And now again the angels are back. Their Lord arose from the dead. He vanquished the powers of sin and darkness and the devil. It was a joy for them. And you know, angels, they like to see what's happening with God's plan of salvation. They are also curious to see how that glorious plan will be unfolded. And they consider it an honor to play a role in this beautiful work. Because the Lord Jesus could have caused that stone just to roll away. But he preferred that it would be done by an angel. Why? Because if an angel from heaven comes down and an angel rolls a stone away, that shows that heaven, God the Father, appreciated and respected and honored that work of God the Son. It was not that the Lord Jesus broke out of the grave. God the Father released him. That shows that he had given the full payment, fully satisfied. The justice of God the Father, heaven approved of his finished work. And Romans 4 tells us that Christ was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. These angels, what did they look like? Well, sometimes we find in Scripture that an angel who appears looks like a man, a young man. But here it's different. Here you see the angels came down like lightning. It doesn't say they had wings. Isaiah saw the angels with 6 pair of wings, 2 covering their faces, 2 covering their feet, and 2 they would fly with. But here you don't read wings. What we here read of is lightning, dazzling light, their garments white as snow. And so these angels, they display purity, glory, joy. When the Lord Jesus was in his suffering, darkness covered the earth. And now in his resurrection, light, dazzling light started to shine. And Roman soldiers see this all. And they, what they thought would be a boring task, they are now overwhelmed by fear. These hardened soldiers, they nearly die of fear. And you know, that's a prophecy. Because the resurrection of the Lord Jesus is for his people a source of great joy. But that same resurrection will be for his enemies absolute terror. And so these soldiers, they nearly died of fear, in panic. They run and flee as fast as they can. But in the meantime, these women are there. They also see those angels. They don't understand what's happening. But they don't want to run away. Why not? Because the love of Christ is in them. And the love of Christ within them compels them to know what is happening, because they must see and find the body of their Savior. The love of Christ constrains them. They want to know what happened. They don't understand. They're just standing there, timid, shy, afraid. They don't dare say anything. They don't dare ask anything. But the angel understands what they are thinking. And so the angel answered them in verse 5. Doesn't say that the women asked anything. But the angel knew what they were thinking. And that's why he answered them. Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. And the word ye has all emphasis here. Fear not ye. The soldiers, they can be afraid. And all the enemies can be afraid. And the scribes and Pharisees can be afraid in a few moments when those soldiers come rushing into town telling them what happened. And the enemies will be afraid when the Lord Jesus returns. And those who never loved him, who lived beyond him, who lived on his earth, who received his blessings but never honored him, never loved him, never cared anything about him, just ignored him, they will be struck with terror and fear. But ye, you don't have to be afraid. Because although these women had many shortcomings, and although they had not considered the word of the Lord Jesus seriously when he told them 3-4 times that he would arise on the third day, still they don't have to fear. What a comfort is that? Because do you understand everything of God's word? I don't. We have to be led deeper and deeper into these matters. And so often we forget matters of God's word. But when it is by God's grace that there is a heartfelt love to him and a trust in him and a thirst for him, then what a comfort to you then. What this angel says to these women, fear not ye. In all your shortcomings, when you come to the Lord humbly, you do not have to fear, because he accomplished everything. The angel does remind them not to rebuke them, but does remind them, he's not here. He is risen as he said. Don't you remember? He said that. And now these women do not have to grieve anymore. They may have joy and gladness. Why? Why may they have joy and gladness? We saw that already. They are seeking the Lord Jesus. That's what the angel also says, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus. You desire to minister to him. And that's why you may be encouraged. What a blessing it is to seek the Lord Jesus in your life. And that seeking is not just your waiting and praying. No, it's earnestly seeking the Lord by prayer, by taking time to read scripture. Therein the Lord speaks to you. And you speak to him reverently through prayer. And you ask him to grant you all you stand in need of. You may lay all your complaints, all your concerns, all your worries, all your needs, the matters you don't understand, the matters you need to learn far better, you may lay it all before him. What a blessing to reverently seek the Lord Jesus. Although you may be confused, these women were confused, and you may have failed to listen properly, just as these women, and yet you're welcome. That's how the Lord deals with people. And so the question is, do we seek this important, blessed Savior? Do you look up to him? Is there a need for him in your heart? When is there a need for the Lord Jesus in your heart? When you recognize that I have transgressed all his commandments and that I can never make up for my sins. I've no covering for my guilt. And that in everything I'm fully dependent upon him. I cannot work out my own salvation. And I'm grieved because of the corruption of my life. You may seek the Lord. And he will not put you to shame, regardless who you are. Do we know that personal seeking and finding of the Lord? Do we know that in our lives? It's very personal. A child can't do it for its parents. And a father and mother can't really do it for their children. It's a personal matter. We will one day personally stand before the Lord Jesus. And so we need to learn to know Him personally now in our lives. And that's the heartbeat of true Christianity. Well, we move on and we see also that those angels start to proclaim the Lord Jesus. Because the angel says, He is not here, for He is risen, as He said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay. And the angel proclaims the resurrection of the dead to these women. What a blessed message this angel may bring. What a joy it must have been for him that it had never before been proclaimed at the grave that the person who was buried here is not here anymore. True, there have been one or two, three, several ones being raised from the grave. That's correct. But they also had to one day go back into the grave. Lazarus was now alive. But after some years, we presume, Lazarus died again and was laid in the grave again. But he is for the first time that someone was buried and he's not here. He arose from the grave, never to return. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. They are referred to a sign, so that that sign may lead them to believe this message. You may look with your own eyes. You may see he is no longer here. And what you do see is his linen burial clothes. They are neatly folded together. And when you look in the grave, you see there's no chaos. There's no disorder here. There is peace. There's light. There's something special. It's life is present here. And that's the glorious message of Easter. There's no grave robbery. There's peace. There's light. And those women are looking and seeing, and the sun of righteousness starts to shine in their hearts, and they start to see and to realize that something very special has happened here. And now joy and gladness are breaking through those dark clouds in their soul. And the women start to be filled with adoration and gratitude. They still don't understand how it could all happen, but joy starts to grow. He is risen. He is risen. Just three words in the English translation. But in these three words, world history has radically been changed. Now death no longer has the final say, because sin and grave have been conquered. Now the devil has been defeated. And now poor sinners who were chained in darkness on their way to everlasting outer darkness, they are redeemed. They are delivered. This is the glorious message. He is risen. The resurrection of Christ is clearly taught in Scripture. The Lord Jesus performed many miracles. He gave many signs. He spoke often about His resurrection, but during His ministry, He had given already many signs and miracles showing that He was the Son of God, that He had power over sickness, that He had all power. And people were eyewitnesses of those miracles. And they recorded them. And they spoke about them. They knew He could heal the blind. He could cleanse lepers. He even could raise the dead from the grave. The people knew that. They talked about that. But none of His miracles have been so corroborated and verified as this miracle of the resurrection from the grave. There are many witnesses of people, of apostles, of women. They saw the Lord Jesus. He instructed them. And he explained to them why he had to be crucified and why he had to rise on the third day. And if you think of so many signs to show that it is reality, people who saw him in Galilee, 500 people at one time saw the Lord Jesus. Paul writes about that in 1 Corinthians 15. And he says the majority of these people are still alive. You can ask them. And you think about the unbelief of the women and how they were led to faith, the unbelief of the apostles. And they could not believe for joy that he was risen. And the signs the Lord Jesus gave that he ate. And they could touch his body. They could see that he was not a ghost, but flesh and blood. And you see the unbelief of Thomas. He refused absolutely to believe that the Lord Jesus was risen from the grave. If you write a gospel promoting your religion, you don't say we didn't even believe it ourselves. But they do. And that shows the truth of the gospel. You think of the Roman seal upon the grave and Roman soldiers guarding the grave. And what an absolute ludicrous lie it is that his apostles came and stole the body while we were sleeping. Well, in the first place, while we were sleeping, how would you know what happened? And it's ludicrous. Nobody would ever do a thing like that. And you see that the disciples themselves were completely changed. They were very afraid. They had locked themselves up. They thought everything is lost. And now in a few weeks, Peter will say to the same Sanhedrin, "You crucified your Messiah." He wasn't afraid at all. How come? How come they were willing to lay down their life for the Lord Jesus Christ, because they had seen him as the risen Lord of Lords. And that's why all these disciples suffered a martyr's death. You don't suffer a martyr's death for a fairy tale. Because the reality is we may not understand everything that comes to us. And we want to have everything in formulas, and want to be able to reason everything. But that's not faith. And the reality is that there's an open grave in the land of Israel. He is not there. He is not there. Where is he then? He ascended into heaven. He arose from the dead. And now the gospel is spread forth. And the remotest parts of the earth, they experience the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Frisians, they killed their first missionary. Boniface, close to Dockham. But the Frisians were converted. And happened in many countries. In Polynesia, they ate the first missionary. But when American soldiers came there in World War II, they found Presbyterian churches among these savages. Because the gospel conquers everywhere where it comes. Why? Because it's power. It's the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. He arose. And there's also another resurrection going to take place. The final resurrection at the end of the days. And so we are also involved in this. You can shy away from it and pretend it's not there, but then you're rather foolish. There's no fact from antiquity so corroborated, so verified as the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what do you now do with a risen Savior? has he become the foremost person for you? Because he's alive also today. And in him you will find true hope, a future full of hope. In him you will find life, gladness, joy, strength, patience, endurance. You will find true and lasting comfort. You will find in him a shepherd who leads and guides. But if you leave church and you shrug your shoulders and you go on with your work and you some impressions and then they depart and leave, and what then? If we don't love the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul says in 2 Corinthians, the last verse I believe it is, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. That means let him be cursed in the coming of the Lord Jesus. We must love him. And we can't bring that up ourselves. But he will give it to you. He will give you everything. There's nothing of yourself. It's all of him. It's the power of his resurrection. And what a glorious future it will be for God's children. To them the word will be spoken, fear not ye. And God's children can fear so much. Fear that they still will not enter in. Fear that they do not love the Lord enough. And fear that they have not honored him enough. And fear that they have fallen short in so many things. We can pile it all on top of each other. So many reasons to fear. But above that all, Lord, I need thee. Day by day, I need thee. Well, the angel spoke to the women. It will be spoken at the last day when the angels will gather all his elect from the four corners of the earth. And it won't be long until that day will come. And the angels will again say, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus. The Lord knows those who belong to him, and the angels know it too. And so, that will be the future, when the Lord Jesus returns, and all the graves are opened, and final judgment will take place. The books will be opened. And every human being will be judged by what is recorded in the books. And the angels shall separate the chaff from the wheat. And God's children will be clothed with glorious righteousness of Christ. And they will be presented before God the Father without sin. They are safe in Christ and eternal joy. And gladness will be upon their faces. And therefore the church of Christ may have good hope because of his proclaimed Jesus. And then finally those women also receive an assignment. They have to witness of Jesus. These women, they hear everything that has been said. They receive a task. That's how it is in the life of faith. When you know the Lord in your life, the Lord also gives you a task. A task, your daily life. And then in obedience to the Lord, they stand in his service. And that's why these women are also called to obey the Lord. Go quickly. And tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead. And the response of these women, now they run. Not away from the Lord, but they run towards His disciples. They return as quickly as possible with haste, because those disciples, they haven't heard the message yet. They are in grief. They are in sorrow. They are behind locked doors out of fear for the Jews. And they must hear the message that Christ arose from the dead. And the women understand this message, they must do. They don't understand how it all could happen, but they know this is the truth. The deep joy in their heart that starts to shine in their life. It may be much nicer for them to have stayed with this angelic being and to have enjoyed fellowship and asking all kinds of questions to him. But that's not their issue. That's not their task. They receive a message and then off you go. You have a task to fulfill. And so at times it can be for us also that we would like to have more blessed communion with the Lord Jesus Christ, that we would like to experience more, much more of His love and of His presence and of His kindness and of His nearness and of His warmth and of His light and of His joy. That's so good, that's so blessed. But that's reserved for later. Now you receive some foretaste, and there you have a task you have to fulfill. And so you have to strengthen yourself to fulfill that task and to be diligent. That's faith, to be obedient to what the Lord tells you to do. And it's far better to be useful for others than to experience yourself joy and gladness while you're not fulfilling your task. And so these women, they're on their way to their disciples. And also here the word is applicable that it's more blessed to give than to receive. So they had to go their way and tell the disciples that their master was risen from the grave. Their sorrow had been changed into joy. And now this same gospel must fill these disciples with joy. And you know what happened? That the disciples didn't believe them. Because women, sad to say, were not in high esteem. They were not even allowed to testify in a court case. And now the Lord chooses expressly women and elevates them, that they become the first witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it came to these disciples, and the disciples didn't believe them. These women couldn't explain it either, how the Lord Jesus arose. But they had been appointed apostles for the apostles. The Lord chooses the weak things of this world to put the mighty things to shame. And if you feel yourself inadequate, and if you feel yourself weak, that you don't know what to say to your colleague at work, the Lord makes use of such people. Because in your weakness, what will you do? You will cry, "Oh God, give me words to speak about Thy goodness to this person." And the Lord uses such weak means. Hear these women. And so the women go their way. They had come to the grave with fear and concern. And now they leave with awe and trepidation mixed with great joy. They were overwhelmed because of the great deeds of the Lord. Would this really be true? Oh, what a joyful message. He lives. He is alive again, our Savior. You know, that's how it happens also when the Lord has dealings with your soul. When you understand something of His nearness, when He speaks peace to your heart, there will be on the one hand profound joy in your heart. And on the other hand, there will still be trepidation, reverence, humility. It's mixed together. That's how the Lord works, that there may be tears of sorrow because of who I am, mixed with tears of joy, who He is. It's mixed. And that's how it was with these women. Fear and great joy. And so they were on their way to the disciples. They were obedient. They didn't hesitate. They were obedient. They had this task to be witnesses to His disciples. They had to convey the message that He is the Prince of Life, and at the same time, He has care for His disciples. He knows how to encourage them. He knows their weaknesses. He will not cast them out. He will not push them away. And the Savior is still the same today. In faithfulness and care and love for unworthy people, for unworthy disciples, for unworthy people. And that's now salvation. When a poor sinner bows before this Prince of Life, he can save fully. And when you know this gospel in your heart, then you also cannot be silent, because you must speak and witness of this blessed Savior, because Jehovah's kindly face gives happiness and grace to all that are pure-hearted. To them is life imparted. Amen. O blessed Lord of heaven, we humbly thank Thee for Thy mercy and goodness, that we could again reflect and meditate upon the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We may have heard many sermons on this blessed matter. Every year again we reflect upon this glorious reality, but may it every time again be new to us by the applicatory working of Thy Spirit. We pray, Lord, go with us this day further. May it be a day consecrated to Thee. Will Thou go with us, Lord, as there will be Sunday school instruction and Sunday catechism instruction. And also this afternoon will Thou bless Reverend Cranendonk, that he may proclaim Thy word in our midst. And then also tonight, when the young people come together, we may sing together. Oh, let us sing of the goodness of the Lord, for Thou art truly risen. Lord, we thank Thee for this precious gospel. Lift up drooping hearts, and wilt Thou console those who are cast down. Wilt Thou strengthen those who may be fearing in doubt and in temptation. Wilt Thou be their rock of ages. And wilt Thou be the antidote and the answer to all our concerns, for Thou art a perfect and fully equipped Savior. O Lord, teach us to listen. Teach us to seek Thee and to find Thee. Look upon us in mercy. Be with us in this coming week, in all the activities that will take place. Keep us all in Thy care. Keep us from an unprepared death. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen.